This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Final hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on what has been a spectacular Tuesday. We'll talk very briefly about this Iran nuclear enrichment thing. We'll talk about, well, the communists building the world of lies. There's this woman who's telling an outright lie. It's completely fascinating to listen to these people. We'll do more emails. I feel like Ob just set a vicious trap for me. And so much more coming up on the world famous Jesse Kelly Show in the final hour. Now, Iran's foreign minister, I'm not going to go into his name. It doesn't matter. It's dumb. He came out and he said publicly, hey, our uranium enrichment program, it's severely damaged, as you can imagine, when America comes and essentially drops a mountain on top of it. That'll set you back a little while. He said our uranium enrichment, it is severely hurt, but no, it's really dear to us and we're just going to start it up again. Trump comes out and says, don't be starting it up again. I'm paraphrasing, but he said, don't you do that. You're saying you're going to start it up again. If you do that, I'm going to come back and get you some more. The only reason I brought that up is this. Sometimes a pause between hostilities is the best you can hope for when there are cultural clashes that go back centuries and probably can't be healed. We all want, you want, I want, lasting peace. You know, peace on earth, Christmas time. We get that. We all want it. It's always a fantasy. It's never coming, not in this lifetime. All we can hope for is a temporary pause. If you thought flying across the globe and dropping a couple big old bombs down at Iran's nuclear sites were just going to kind of settle that whole matter, and everything was going to be peaceful afterwards, I would just argue that you're a little bit naive. Like we talked about when all that was going on, some fights don't end until one side is gone. That's just kind of how it's always been. Now, I need to, before I get to this communist world of lies in emails, I feel like Ob just set a trap for me. Oh, I didn't tell you, Chris. It just happened right before the segment started. So I get a text from Mob. You know, we discuss big purchases, and she's always going to check in with me and get my approval before she buys anything of any significance. It's just kind of how we do things. And she texts me, and she says, I want a treadmill. A treadmill. Now, I'm against the treadmill. I really don't want to sound like Chris here, but I don't want to spend the money on a treadmill. Treadmills got to be expensive, Chris. I haven't looked them up, but they have to be thousands of dollars. They're not bad. Really? How much? A few hundred? Oh, well, that's not that bad. I thought it was going to be thousands of dollars. Chris said it's not fancy. Well, I don't want her to have a nice one. I want the cheapest one humanly possible. That way it breaks after a month and I have to go buy a nice one. I make this mistake all the time. So anyway, she texts me that she wants a treadmill. How am I supposed to respond to that? Because here's what you do. If you respond no, then people think you're fat. People think you don't care about exercise. Or I know what she'll do. She'll pull out that thing. I guess you don't care if I get fat or something like that. And then you're trapped again, because then if you respond, no, I do care, don't get fat, then, oh, I guess you wouldn't love me anymore. I feel like this was walking me into a trap that I can't escape from without saying yes. What, Chris? What? Chris said you already bought a treadmill. It's called a sidewalk. Chris, it's so miserable here in the summertime, buddy. Let's be honest. This is something weird about living in Texas that I've gotten used to now. But when I was a kid, you know, I was born in Ohio. I didn't know anybody. Well, I take that back. I knew one family that had an in-ground pool. One family. And because they were the only family around that had an in-ground pool, every single occasion was at their house because they were the only ones that had it. The only other pool I can remember in Ohio was my buddy. He and his family lived in a double wide, but they had one of those blow-up above-ground pools, and we spent all kinds of time there. Pools, especially in-ground pools, the way I grew up and where I grew up, that was something rich people had. We never even dreamt of having a pool. That would never happen. Now, we moved to Montana at 10 years old. Obviously, you get 2 months, maybe 2.5 months of decent weather, hot weather, I should say, up in Montana for the summertime. I didn't know a single person in Montana who had a pool. Not one. And Chris is making me this face. Buddy, it's 7-8 months a year. It's freaking frozen. The ground is frozen. You're not a hot tub. Yeah, you'll see those hot tubs, but nobody had a pool. And if you did, and I didn't know anyone who did, but if you did, you had to be mega rich because most of them had to be enclosed. They were essentially inside indoor pools where they'd put kind of like a greenhouse thing around it. Again, my entire life, pools were rich people things. Normal people never had pools. The weather, the summer is so ungodly down here in Texas. It is so freaking miserable down here. Half of my friends have pools. A pool is a normal thing down here. Now, some pools are bigger and more elaborate than others. You know, this guy will spend $100,000 on a pool and this guy will spend $10,000. So don't get me wrong, the sizes and how elaborate the thing is, it will vary from house to house. But Chris, how many friends do you know have pools? As Chris said a lot. Corey? Yeah. You guys don't understand. That's rich people stuff in other part of the country. But the summer is so freaking miserable here. The only time you even want to go outside is if you can stumble out your back door and plop into a body of water. And even then, and people from up in Montana, which I told you I just spent a month up there, people in Montana don't believe me when I say this. In the Texas summer, like today, you can't get in a pool at 3 or 4 in the afternoon because the water is so warm. It's like hopping in a bowl of soup, and it stops being refreshing at all. You think, well, I'll just get in the pool. Oh, no. If that water's been warming up all day, you can't get in the pool. You have to wait until it's 7-8 o'clock at night for the water to cool back off enough to get in the pool. Buddy, this summer is miserable. And you know I love Texas. I moved here on purpose. I love the people. I love the food. The weather here is awful. So I can't say that to her, just go outside. I guess I could, but what, Chris, what? You say, what's wrong with building up a good sweat? Just embrace the heat. Buddy, that's no way to live. I love a good sweat as much as the next man. That's no way to live. Nobody wants to walk to their car 100 yards across the parking lot and then sit down in their own butt sweat. And no, this is no way to live. I know you Texans think this is the only way to live. It's not. You've got to find a way to cool off in the summertime. What, Chris? Chris said, this or 10-foot snowbanks. Well, there's a reason I'm here, pal. I don't think that was me telling you Montana weather is perfect. I used to get woken up every morning in the wintertime by my dad an hour before I had to leave so I could go shovel off the driveway. And just I've shoveled more snow. And, of course, we never had any money for a snowblower, so it was all by hand. No matter what, you got a snow shovel, and you got out, and you're just shoveling, shoveling, shoveling snow. I'm so sick of shoveling snow that I never want to shovel any more snow in my life. Let's talk about the Democrat Party really quick. Is Chuck Schumer in trouble?
Right now, the Times call for someone who's going to stand up to Donald Trump and make sure that we stand up to this unconstitutional action. And we've had great voices in the Senate doing that. We've had Cory Booker doing that. We've had Chris Murphy doing that. We have so much talent there. Brian Schatz doing that, that it just seems to me odd that that we still are picking Schumer. I mean, I have nothing to do with it. It's the Senate's decision. But what we need to do is make it clear for the September 30th that he shouldn't capitulate, that we need he needs to stand with the base and make sure we get some concrete concessions.
That is a huge, huge thing that won't get any media play at all. That's Ro Khanna, representative. He's in the House. Ro Khanna. It doesn't matter who he is. But a Democrat in the House essentially just said, why do we need Chuck Schumer anymore? Let's talk about this rift. What it's all about. What's happening right now? Hang on.
Jesse Kelly returns. Next.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful Tuesday. Remember, you can email the show, and you should, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. If you miss any part of the show, iHeart, Spotify, iTunes, go download the podcast of it. So more than one Democrat has publicly called out Chuck Schumer now. Why is he the head of the party? Why is he the head of the party? Other people are the head of the party. You know the story of Frankenstein? Most people roughly know the story. Everyone knows the monster, but remember, the monster was not Frankenstein. Frankenstein was the guy who created it, Dr. Frankenstein. Dr. Frankenstein thought he could create life, cobbles together a bunch of quite large body parts. Depending on which version you read, lightning strikes, you get little this, little that, and boom, now you have this gigantic, super powerful, soulless monster. And Dr. Frankenstein quickly figures out, I'm not in control of this thing anymore. What Democrat leadership is now going through with the loss of Nancy Pelosi, with the leadership vacuum, is their leaders are no longer able to put fear into the radical communist base, the younger communists in their party. They used to be able to. Nancy Pelosi was the one who could do it and would do it. Didn't matter who you thought you were. Remember Big Shot AOC when she took out that establishment Democrat and got elected? Went into Congress and immediately started running her mouth. Almost a week into it, Nancy Pelosi, it was widely reported, called AOC in for a little sit down. Said, hey, I'm not telling you not to be a filthy commie. Don't you ever try to come at me again in public or there's going to be a problem. AOC's been a team player ever since. Democrats are savages in general. Soulless monster savages. They have to be controlled. You know, like we've said so many times before, fear and pain is all these people understand. And Nancy Pelosi was the one who could give that to them. She was more than willing to take you out in a primary. She could put fear in your heart. Without her, there's nobody left to put fear in these people. Hakeem Jeffries doesn't. Listen to this goober. Listen to this goober and don't listen like you. Picture you're one of the younger, crazy, dirty commies in Congress. Does this guy strike fear into your heart thinking about him calling you into the office?
This far-right extremist group that I've never heard of filed this ethics complaint right here alleging that I somehow abused my power by speaking the truth about Donald Trump's so-called U.S. attorney in New Jersey. Let me be clear about my opinions relative to Alina Haba. That's the U.S. attorney right now in New Jersey. She is woefully unqualified and is a political hack. Alina Haba, you are.
Gosh, this guy needs some chalk so bad.
A complete and total disgrace. I don't give a damn about this so-called ethics.
There's another cuss word. Another cuss word in there.
Ethics complaint. It means nothing to me. It is frivolous. It was filed.
Okay, you get the idea. And the idea is Hakeem Jeffries needs a male vitality stack from chalk. You just heard him.
Ha, Alina Haber.
He even had a little lisp in there. That's a man who needs a 20% increase in his testosterone in 90 days. But most men do. And I understand what Hakeem's going through. He drinks synthetic estrogens, just like you do. It's in our water. It's in our plastics. So he needs natural herbal supplements to fight against that. It'll get rid of that lisp. It'll get rid of that feminine way of talking. And he may be able to grab a hold of his party again, which he's lost control of. Do you want that kind of power too in your life? Male vitality stack from chalk. Natural herbal supplements. Call them or text them. They have a female vitality stack too, ladies, if you want to be the next Nancy Pelosi. C-H-O-Q. Text or call. 50-CHOCK-3000. 50-CHOCK-3000. Back to what we were talking about, though. Without Nancy Pelosi there to put fear in these younger radical Democrats, the power has shifted. They have courted all these street animals. These street animals are making the transition from streets to elites. They're running for office. They're getting elected. And when they get elected, they are not tiptoeing around when they get there the way freshman congressmen and young congressmen usually do in both parties. Try to keep your head down, your mouth shut. You just got there. That is not happening at all. The loudest voices in the Democrat Party are now the youngest voices, and that's because the senior Democrat leadership does not strike fear into the heart of junior Democrats. Chuck Schumer is not only the most powerful Democrat in the United States Senate. Remember, the Senate is an unbelievably powerful institution. Chuck Schumer is the top-ranking Democrat there. Chuck Schumer is also a long-established politician in our second most powerful state, New York. That's a big deal. And New Yorkers know exactly what I'm talking about. You rise through the ranks in New York politics, and you become one of the U.S. senators in New York politics. That's a big deal. You know how to grab power, how to use power. Chuck Schumer now gets threatened publicly. Why do we still have him there? And I had a little birdie tell me, don't know if I believe this, by the way. So this is not me telling you. It was one of those heard from a guy who heard from a guy things. So I am not telling you this is coming, okay? I heard a guy tell me that AOC is seriously considering taking out Chuck Schumer. And I asked, well, if that's true, can she? Because of what I just said, Chuck Schumer, he knows how to wield power in New York. I was told that AOC would stomp Chuck Schumer in New York. The young crazies now control the Democrat Party. Frankenstein worked for a lot of years to build that monster. Now the monster is alive, and now the monster is in charge. It's wild to watch it. Anyway, we'll do some emails in the communist world of make-believe. Next.
The Jesse Kelly Show. On air and online at jessekellyshow.com.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a fantastic Tuesday. Remember, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Let's do some of these. Hey, Spider Jesse, last week you said you felt like we are on the verge of something big and that you couldn't explain it. Over the weekend, the biggest political story in our country's history was just discovered. Your spidey sense was right on, but be honest, did you have inside information or a source to point you toward that feeling, or are you just that good? I love the show. It's all I listen to on my 40-minute commute to work, says her name is Jennifer. I always, always, always tell you when I have a source. I am always honest with you about that, and I will always be honest with you about that. when I have a source who has told me something, I usually can't tell you who they are or what their role is, but I will tell you I have a source. When I have a theory that I've just come up with in my small infantile brain, I tell you it's just a theory. When I know something, I tell you I know something. When I tell you I think something's coming, it was just because I felt like something was coming. I didn't know it was going to be the Obama stuff. And again, to hear Donald Trump talk about it, this thing might go somewhere. I don't think it's going to land on Obama. That doesn't happen. Presidents have all sorts of immunity and things like that. And I'm not sitting here to tell you, John Brennan's going to federal prison. I'm not. I don't know. But I'm telling you this, something's going to happen.
They have him stone cold, and it was President Obama. It wasn't lots of people all over the place. It was them, too. But the leader of the gang was President Obama. Look, he's guilty. It's not a question. You know, I like to say, let's give it time. It's there. He's guilty. This was treason. This was every word you can think of. They tried to steal the election. They tried to obfuscate the election. They did things that nobody's ever even imagined, even in other countries. And we have all of the documents. And from what Tulsi told me, she's got thousands of additional documents coming. So President Obama, it was his concept, his idea, but he also got it from crooked Hillary Clinton. Crooked is a $3 bill.
The American president saying that publicly is a big deal. Is a very big deal, because that's going to put pressure on Pam Bondi to act. You and I are used to the DOJ, even Republican AGs, doing nothing. We're used to Jeff Sessions. We're used to Bill Barr. Well, I mean, I wouldn't want to. That's what we're used to. I'm jaded. You're jaded. That's how it is. How does Pam Bondi do nothing? If you think that's what she's going to do, it's a very reasonable thing, but How does she do nothing when her president is saying things like this publicly?
The witch hunt that you should be talking about is they caught President Obama absolutely cold, Tulsi Gabbard. What they did to this country in 2016, starting in 2016, but going up all the way going up to 2020 in the election, they tried to rig the election, and they got caught. And there should be very severe consequences for that. You know, when we caught Hillary Clinton, I said, you know what, let's not go too far here. It's the ex-wife of a president, and I thought it was sort of terrible. And I let her off the hook, and I'm very happy I did. But it's time to start after what they did to me. And whether it's right or wrong, it's time to go after people. Obama's been caught directly. So people say, oh,
it's time to go after people. If you're Pam Bondi, you can't not act when your boss says something like that. You're forced to. You have to take that as orders, right? Don't you have to take it that way? You have to take that as a directive. When the DNI is on television saying this.
You see crimes here.
I do, Sean, and I'm referring all of these documents that we have found and uncovered, referring them to the Department of Justice for further investigation, accountability and action, not just investigation, but action. Accountability has to take place. The American people's ability to have faith and trust in the integrity of our democratic republic is literally what's at stake, and therefore the future of our ability to exist as the country that we know it. This accountability is critical to make sure that this never happens again.
How do you hear that and not act? I think someone's going to act. Dear Jesse, I wrote you a few months ago to let you know I started a monthly donation to Preborn on my birthday. I thought it seemed like a good day to help save a life. I just wanted to update you and your listeners to let you know that a monthly donation is not only an easy thing to do, but I don't even notice a difference in my finances. $28 a month is such a small price to help make the difference between life and death for those precious babies. How about that? It was a great birthday present to give myself, giving someone else the opportunity for a birthday. Ah, that's a cool way to put it. I hope your birthday was a great day with family and friends. Happy birthday, says her name is Terry. Thank you, Terry. Yeah, I've encouraged you before to give to preborn monthly if you can. And maybe you can't do $28 a month. I say $28 because that's how much the ultrasound they give that young woman costs. Hey, maybe you can do more, right? Maybe you can buy five of them. I don't know. Maybe you can do $5. I don't know. But I love when I find a wonderful organization like Preborn. I love to do it that way. That way I never have to rely on my mind or rely. Well, hopefully I'll log in and I'll give something. Give it automatic. They didn't ask me to say that. I would recommend it. Give it automatic. And remember, it's tax deductible. You get a nice little sheet at the end of the year deducting all that from your taxes. Not too shabby, huh? Preborn.com/Jesse. Hey, Jesse, have you ever gone to the World War II Museum in New Orleans or the Medal of Honor Museum in Arlington, Texas? Her name's Cindy. I did the World War II Museum in New Orleans. That was last month, I believe. Finally did that. Everybody had told me, you got to go, you got to go, you got to go. We went, and wow, it was so good. It was so well done, that World War II Museum in New Orleans. Oh, yeah, Chris, it was wild, cool, huge, Chris. I bet you it's a city block. Dude, we're not talking a little building. I bet you it's a city block. They had this one thing. There's a submarine crew. I won't go into the details of it. There's a submarine crew in World War II that they were out at night, and they were taking on a bunch of Japanese ships with their submarine. And the crew ends up getting sunk. It's an amazing story. The submarine gets sunk. They take out a bunch of ships. But it's one of, if not the only instance where some of the crew actually got out of a submarine. Normally, you lose a sub, everyone dies. They had like these air devices where they got to the surface. The Japanese captured them and tortured them and this whole thing. But some of these guys lived through the war. It's a fascinating story. I think it's the Tang. I think it's the USS Tang. Don't quote me on that. I think that's the name of the sub. Anyway, at this World War II museum, they have this thing. Once you pay for a ticket, I don't think we had to pay extra for it. Maybe we did. Don't quote me on that. But they have this setup where you show up outside this display, and at your set time, they let a set number of people in. And when you walk in, you have a much larger version of the submarine these guys were in. There is a station where you load the torpedoes. There's a station where you steer the submarine. There's a station where you operate the periscope. And they're giving orders over the loudspeaker as if you are in the middle of that battle. And they're like, you know, load torpedo tube number one, turn starboard. And you are operating it. The different people in there are operating it, and the area around it, because they have it open around it. Chris said he's going to be out sick tomorrow. Dude, I'm telling you, it's great. We got to go back. I love New Orleans anyway. I'll go back with you. The area around it is a screen of some kind, so you're looking at the Japanese ships, and it's raining, and you're firing torpedoes. And dude, that is one aspect of that museum. I was in history nerd freaking heaven. History nerd heaven, like you could not imagine. I thought it was so well done. And what I didn't know was Stephen Ambrose was the one who started that museum. I grew up reading Stephen Ambrose, that wonderful American historian. He wrote a great Lewis and Clark book called Undaunted Courage. I think it was Undaunted Courage. Highly recommend it for you and the kids, the story of Lewis and Clark. But Ambrose was the one who started it, the World War II Museum. Dude, it was awesome. It was friggin' awesome. Anyway, one more segment left. We'll talk about the world of make-believe. Some emails next.
You're listening to The Jesse Kelly Show. You're welcome.
It is The Jesse Kelly Show. Final segment of The Jesse Kelly Show on what has been a wonderful Tuesday. If you miss any part of the show, you can download the whole thing on iHeart, Spotify, iTunes. I want you to listen to something. This is in Tennessee, one of my favorite states, as you know. But we talk a lot about how communists lie about everything on purpose. big, gigantic lies, small lies, but in order to sell the sick religion they're trying to sell, it requires lies. Walking into a room and telling people you're going to destroy everything they care about is not a winning sales message. So you have to lie. And the communist knows this. It used to take this form, and I actually missed this. Remember all the fake child stories the first time Trump was elected? The communists kind of settled on this theme, and this is what I mean by child stories. It was always like, I was talking to my five-year-old Star Crystal, and she was worried that Donald Trump was going to have her murdered, and I didn't know whether or not I should tell her that was going to happen, and everyone around us heard it, and they all started clapping when she said that. Just clearly a fake story, a lie. But it wasn't one person who did this. It was person after person. Politicians, Democrat politicians took part in it. Media people took part in it. They all just decided, well, I should make up a story too. I should lie too. Communists lie about everything at all times in order to maintain the world of make-believe their cult followers live in. They tell these lies because your liberal Aunt Peggy is bitter and miserable, and she's on too many antidepressants, and she's probably a stupid person, and so she will believe the lies she is told. That's why they tell the lies. The lies are designed for the liberal Aunt Peggy in your life. Maybe that liberal Aunt Peggy is your mom, or your coworker, or your son, or your husband, or whatever it may be. But they believe a bunch of things that aren't true because they're dumb and they're mentally ill and because communists are constantly feeding them lies. Listen to this bunch of crap.
I've been with my partner for about 15 years, though we're not married. I just had my first visit, and that provider told me that thanks to that act, they were not comfortable treating me because I am an unwed mother, and that goes against their Christian values.
Just, I know the audio's a little rough. I got pregnant. I've been with my partner for a bunch of years. And I went to see my OBGYN, and they wouldn't treat me. And you heard that. Listen to all the liberal Aunt Peggy's in the crowd. Oh my gosh, no way!
I'm lucky enough to live in a part of the state where I can seek care across state lines. And that's what I'm doing, traveling to Virginia for my prenatal care, scared out of my mind that I will go into labor and not be able or have to deliver in this state with a provider who feels that child's life is more.
How could they tell such an obvious lie? Why would they tell such an obvious lie? Well, think about the liberal Aunt Peggy in your life. The liberal Aunt Peggy who believes that Donald Trump colluded with Russia. The liberal Aunt Peggy in your life who believes her 19th COVID booster shot is still protecting her. The liberal Aunt Peggy in your life who believes George Floyd was killed by that cop in Minneapolis. Communists tell gigantic lies. They make up these absurd, ridiculous stories. Because there are enough dumb, mentally ill people in this country who will believe them. As I've said many times before, the root of the problem is us, the people. We have to change us. If we turn into a society again of stable people from stable homes, communism's impossible to sell. You hear ridiculous stories like that, and everyone just rolls their eyes. But when we become a broken, mixed up, mentally ill, drug-addled society, the communists will find enough morons in this society to believe the ridiculous lies they tell. The root of the problem is always us, always the people. Keep that in mind.
And now,
here's a headline.
By, go, you know the thing.
Headlines we didn't get to.
I have to pause for a second. I forgot to do this email. I love this one. Shame on you for promoting animal abuse on July 10th, 2025. You talked about killing beavers for entertainment. Many people listen to this show and will think this is okay and will do the same. Animals should be never abused or murdered. God will punish you for this. Listen, moron. Nobody said anything about abusing or murdering anybody. Human beings have every right to stop animals from hurting human things. And I know in this namby-pamby, flowery loser society like the one you clearly come from, that's a crazy concept. When wolves are killing your cattle and your cattle are your living, you go kill all the wolves, period. When gophers are making so many holes that your horses, animals are breaking their legs, you go kill all the gophers, period. That story out of Florida from a few years ago where I forget which kind of bird it was, were attacking cars. You go get a shotgun and you go blow all their heads off because they're attacking cars and human beings. And I know that's radical today, but that's how every human being has lived in all of human history. And you know what, buddy? You are too civilized. You have lived a life of urban luxury where you have never had to encounter an animal that messed anything up. And that is why you think it's abuse to kill a beaver that's chopping down all your trees. Me, King Beaver Slayer, I don't have that problem. Back to the headlines. Ozzy Osbourne dies just weeks after a farewell show. Well, of course. What did you think farewell what meant? Bondi announces major city is dropping sanctuary city policies. That's Louisville, Kentucky. And maybe, just maybe, there's a glimmer of hope for some of these places. America First Legal files civil rights complaint over DEI at Johns Hopkins Medical School of Medicine, I mean. Yeah, just a reminder, all this communist insanity reached the highest levels in this country. I am now out of time since I lectured Animal Rights Nerd. I'll be back tomorrow to do it again. That's all.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.